Today, I wanted us to turn to the book of Psalm chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84. If you may please turn with me there. And one of the greatest desires of a man is to live a blessed life. And rightly so. Today, we have prayed for those children that the Lord has blessed you with, that they may be able to experience the blessings of God and the favor of man. And I did a search via Instagram and also on Facebook, and I realized that the hashtag blessed or blessed in Instagram has been used by 147 million people recently. On Facebook, about 85 million people have used this hashtag blessed. And this hashtag perhaps has been used more than any other hashtag, because people are always looking into ways of how they can be able to experience the blessings. In the New Testament, the word blessed has appeared about 112 times. None is associated with material possessions. The Bible will say things like, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's Matthew 5. Blessed is the man who perseveres while in trial, James chapter 1, verse 12. Revelation would say that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now. This means that blessedness then must be in connection with Jesus Christ. In our time together today, I will try to answer this question from this text. The question of how can we be able to experience the blessings of God? That's a question that I want us to discuss today. And in this text, Psalm 84, there are some words there, superscript, that are there, and I want us to discuss about that. When you look, Psalm 84, just down there, there is a line there that says, for the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah. I want us to, just briefly to give you a context of what we are going to discuss today from looking at who are these sons of Korah. What did they do? This Korah, what did he do? And I want to remind you that when the children of Israel left Egypt, a land of suffering and slavery, God promised to take them to the promised land and to give them an inheritance and to settle them forever. That is the land of Canaan. And they were to be allotted land based on the 12 tribes of, from the 12 sons of Jacob. And so they looked forward to them getting their land. But God said that the descendants of the tribe of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, they are going to be set apart and they are not going to receive an inheritance, for God was calling them to full-time ministry, that they are going to serve me. And so the sons of the generation of Levi didn't receive land allotment. God actually said that I am going to be their inheritance, a very privileged call. And one of the great grandsons of Levi was called Korah. And Korah, I want us to see what he did in Numbers. If you may, please stand with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers is in the Old Testament. It's book number 4. There is an easy mnemonic of remembering that. God's everlasting love never dies. God, Genesis, everlasting, Exodus, love, Leviticus, never, Numbers. Nice. Just an easy way of remembering that. Allow me just to read, and make just brief remarks so that you may understand the context of Psalm 84. Number 16, Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 men, well-known community leaders, who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them. and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? And you can sense the word there. If you can translate that word, you have come too far to your local language. You will sense the intensity of their arrogance. When Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning, the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy. And he will make that person come near him. The man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, and tomorrow put fire and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You, Levites, have gone too far." So you can sense the rebuttal. You have come too far. No, you are the one who has come too far. In verse 8, Moses also said to Korah, "Now listen, you Levites. Is it enough for you that God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelites community and brought you near himself to do the work at the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him?" And the thing is this, that Korah, together with these 250 men, they had developed an unhealthy appetite of envy. And envy many times, friends, can turn us away from the joyful service of the Lord. Moses is reminding them, God had already set you apart. But now you do not want that. It seems like it's a simple task. Now you want the priesthood. That's what Moses is reminding them. But verse 12 says, "Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, 'We will not come.'" Sense the arrogance there again. "Is it enough that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert?" Do you see? Envy and pride can make you exaggerate things. They're saying that actually Egypt was much better than what God is promising us. "And now you also want to lord it over us. Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? We will not come. It's like asking him, utadu hatukuji. The story goes further. I may not have enough time to read all of it. But God was displeased with Korah and these three men and the 250 men. And the next day, what happened was that, and maybe I can read it for you, verse 31, jump with me there, then you can read the story later. "As soon as he finished saying this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, 'The earth is going to swallow us too.' And fire came from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense." That's what happened. Out of this rebellion, nearly all the Korah's generation, all of them, were consumed and were finished and wiped out. But God, in his own mercies, it seems he protected some and preserved a few. Actually, when you read later in Numbers 26, verse 10, it says, the line of Korah, however, did not die out. God is a God who is full of justice. He is a just God. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 89 that justice and righteousness are the foundations of his throne. But many times as Christians, we are unable to see that the same God who is a God of justice is the same God who is a God of mercy. And we seem to look at God like, if God is a God of justice, then he's not a God of mercy. And if God is a God of mercy, then he's not a just God. As Christians, we must see that the justice of God and the mercy of God, they go hand in hand together. That God is a God of justice because he is merciful. And he is merciful because he is justice. He's just. The same God who punishes and convicts is the same God who comes and consoles. And because of that, he preserved a few. And this perhaps is a warning to us. Even as parents dedicating these children, God has the ability of restarting life again. God has the ability of preserving a remnant, even in your disobedience. But that's not what God desires, is that we be able to teach and to train these children in the ways of the Lord. So let's go back to our Psalm 84, before you forget again. So that's where the sons of Korah come from. They do not come from a very good background. Their lineage has a sense of rebellion. There are people who rebelled against God and his servants. But something happened. These sons of Korah, something happened. Seeing the justice of God, they were able to run to God. And they have written about 11 psalms and which are attributed to them. Some of them you may know them. For example, Psalm 42. And one line there in Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Or Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of need. And then verse 2 of Psalm 46 says, though the earth give way, for them it was a reality. The earth gave way and swallowed those who are disobeying. But they're saying, though the earth gives way, we will trust in this God. Actually, another verse says there in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. They wanted to exalt themselves, but now they have put God in his rightful place in humility, and they have surrendered everything. What I want us to see in this text, verse 1 to verse 12, I want us to see three things. That a blessed life, we'll be able to achieve a blessed life if we resolve to love God. If we remember that he supplies strength. And if we respond to him through service. Resolve, remember, and respond. Verse 1 says, how lovely is your dwelling place. Psalm 84 now. O Lord Almighty, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And in here, in this text, we see a people, the sons of Korah, who had resolved to follow God and to love him. And out of that, they were called to a place of enjoying the blessings of God, but ultimately, a chance to fellowship with him again. That verse there, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, and my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. They remember that God had extended mercy to them. They now look forward to fellowship with God with great anticipation. You can even hear the intensity of their longing, to be near God from these few verses. They are not yet there. The Psalm 84, it's a psalm that, the children of Israel will sing as they go to these festivities to encourage each other. So they want a journey, a pilgrimage. You can hear that, or you can see that they are longing to fellowship with God. They are not yet there, but they are looking forward with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their heart, with all their flesh to be near God. Perhaps you may remember another verse that says, love the Lord your God. With all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your heart, with all your strength. It is the same longing that even for us as believers, as Christians, we should long to be near the Lord. And we can teach and equip our children to long to be near and to be close with God. Friends, we are on a journey on this earth. Let us run this race that has been marked for us with perseverance, with endurance. We are on a journey to heaven. We are on a pilgrimage towards heaven, to be near God, forever committing to love God, brothers and sisters, we are marching towards heaven to enjoy the eternal blessings of being in the presence of God. And that is the ultimate blessing. And anyone who is focused on that path, indeed, they will be blessed. Verse 3 says that even a sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. The psalmist here is giving us an imagery of two birds, the swallow and the sparrow. The sparrow is a very weak bird. Very weak and small. And perhaps the lesson here that we can take is that even the weakest of us, even the smallest, even these kids, as young as they are, they have a part or they have a home in the presence of God. Do you consider yourself very small? You have a place in the house of God. It also says there, the swallow has found a place where she can nest and nurture her young ones. The swallow is a small, restless, and timid bird. Always flying and not easy to catch. Actually, where I grew up in the village, back in the village, we used to have near our place in Nakuru. So, sorry, Nakuru City, right? Watu wa Nakuru. And where we, in our village where we used to stay, there was a decommissioned quarry where, you know, these swallows, they had dark small holes. You get small holes where they can be able to hide. It's a timid bird and a restless one. So for its safety, just near the, just alongside the cliff. And we used to hunt these birds. We love hunting them. And so what we'll do is we go with our mama's blanket, you know, and spread it over the cliff so that they don't fly out. And then we insert our hands as small boys, you know, and we grab them. And we used to slaughter them and eat them and roast them and eat them. Because we believed as small boys that if you eat the heart of this swallow, then you are going to become very athletic. You'll be running and never grow tired or even weary. That's what we believed. And we slaughtered hundreds of them. You know, sorry, God, it was a massacre. And the lesson here is that even the one who is restless and confused spiritually, that if you commit to love God, then the blessings of God will be yours. You will be resting at the altar. Do you consider yourself like you do not know many things? You don't know many verses? You do not know where, you know, Jesus wept? You think that it is in Exodus? You know, you can't rehearse to all the Bible says if you commit to love the Lord, then you have a place, not back there. You are no longer going to become a backbencher. You are going to sit in the presence of God at the altar where you can experience the blessings of God. If you resolve to love God. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Friends, point number one was resolve to love God and you will reap these blessings. That's how you can enjoy the blessings of God. Point number two, you need to remember that God supplies the strength. And that one we see from verse 5 to verse 9. Verse 5 says, blessed are those who walk, whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on the pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Friends, the journey of loving God isn't an easy one. Even taking care of these children, it is not an easy one. That's why the psalmist reminds us in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on the pilgrimage. On their journey to meet the Lord or to fellowship with the Lord, these people, as they walk from their places, they would face many dangers as we're coming to, as we're coming to worship the Lord. There'd be many dangers in the wilderness. There'd be weather challenges, wild animals. And if that were not enough, look at me with from verse 6 that says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And this valley of Baca, if you do a quick word search in the Bible, you find that it has not occurred anywhere else apart from this place, Valley of Baca, just this place. And some of your versions will say the valley of tears or the valleys of suffering, the valley of weeping. As they made this pilgrimage to worship and to honor God, they met many dangers and unexpected hardships that made them shed tears, that made them weep. And some of us have shed those tears. As we have desired to love the Lord, we have cried tears of grief, losing a loved one, a relationship not working out, experiencing separation or even divorce that has made you cry. Talk about failed relationships. You tried, doesn't work out. Talk about health issues. Having a loved one who is unwell and sick, and you cry because you are helpless. You can't be able to help them. Talk about debts and finances. Talk about losing a job. Talk about facing an injustice. Something that was rightly yours has been taken away. And you wonder, God, are you there? Do you see the cries of your people? That's the valley of Baca. I love it the way Sammy says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, reminding us that suffering and challenges of life, they are not long lasting. For the people of God who have found their strength in the Lord, it is a temporary thing. They are not going to last there for long. But then in that short moment, in that darkness of grief, in that anxiety, in that depression, it's dark. But may you be reminded, and may we be reminded, that it doesn't last for long. What the psalmist reminds us here, don't face the valley of Baca with your own strength. Verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. They make Baca a place of spring. Where they were crying, because they have trusted in God, they change it and they transform it and it becomes a pool. Actually, your versions there says pool. But when you look at the original versions, the word pool doesn't appear. I think it's the translators who thought that maybe the pool will make more sense. But the original language or the original word there is a word that is beraka, where we get the word baraka. That as they go through this time of tears and cries, if their strength is in the Lord, do you know what? That they make it a place of blessings. They experience blessings there, not just for them, but even for others. This means that God never wastes our tears. And some of the strongest ministries that we may ever experience are born out of tears, out of frustrations. God never wastes our painful experiences, but can make them a great platform of ministry that encourages others. And others are encouraged to persevere in this journey of faith. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. This is it, friends. I do admire the people who love running and jogging. I don't like it. You know, I don't like it. And the thing is this, when one is preparing to run or to jog, they start from a place of strength. But by the time they are coming to their time, to an end of this running, you know what? They are so weak. So they start from a place of strength and end with a place of weakness. Not so for the people of God whose trust is in the Lord. Do you know what? They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Those who trust the Lord in their suffering as they walk through this valley of Baca move from strength to strength. Suffering, friends, shouldn't make us run away from God. Suffering should make us to be even more focused to seeing God and seeing his redemption. Pain and distress should make us even cling to him more. As we long for that eternal joy in the presence of God, we must fix our eyes firmly. He says, till each appears before God in Zion. The promise is that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then each of us, brothers and sisters, when our time is over on this side, we'll be able to appear before God in his eternal dwelling. That reminds us that if we fix our eyes on God, then our joy is complete. Our joy is comprehensive, and our joy is eternally constant and unchanging. That's the promise that we get from this psalm. The promise is that if we put faith in Jesus, then each of us, brothers and sisters, will be able to appear before God. Even with those scars that we have experienced or we have seen from the valley of Baca, we will be able to appear before him. And do you know what, brothers and sisters? He is the one who will wipe away our tears. The book of Revelation reminds us that he will wipe, that they will hunger no more, they will cry no more. That's the promise that we have, friends. So let us walk through this journey of faith and persevere, for the joy that is before us is sure, it is complete, it is constant, it is unchanging. And in our resurrected body, there is one thing that we lack. We'll have the eyes to see the glory of God. We'll have the hands perhaps to lift up a praise to him. We'll be able to walk where he is, but there's something that we'll be missing in those bodies. One of the things that we'll be missing is the tear ducts, because we no longer need to cry. The thing that we are reminded today here, do we have a testimony of God's deliverance and faithfulness? Share it with others. Do you remember that the day that the Lord has rescued you? Make it a pool so that others can be blessed. A blessed life is when one resolves to love God, and when a blessed life is also when one remembers that God is the one who supplies strength during times of hardships and difficulties. And finally, a blessed life is when one responds to God through service or through serving him. Verse 11 says, or verse 10, from verse 10 to verse 12 says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Verse 11, allow me to emphasize that. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The sons of Korah, perhaps remembering their forefather, Korah, who hated the work that God had called him to and despised it and desired another role. A role that he thought is a role of honor. Right now they are saying, this generation of Korah, they are saying that even the least of tasks, but to the service of God, is way much better than any other job outside of God. He says that he won't dwell in the tent of the wicked. Moses called Korah wicked, and God punished them outside their tents. So when they are writing this and saying that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked, all these things, their forefathers despised the job, they were wicked, and also they dwelled in the tents. And these sons of Korah tried to picture that and says, no, 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 no. That task that you refused, I would rather take it. Dwelling in your tents? No, I would rather dwell in the house of God and serve God in his house. He says he won't dwell in the tent of the wicked. The psalmist here says, like he's saying, like, wickedness doesn't last. Rebellion doesn't last. But faithfulness has great reward. There is great reward in your faithfulness as you serve the Lord. And he uses the picture of a house, comparing it with a tent, to show us the permanence of God's blessings. Friends, allow me to remind you that whatever you do for the sake of the Lord may cost you short term, may deny you some joy. But if you're doing it for the Lord, then there is long-term gain. Actually, there is a return on that investment. As you take care of these children, as you shepherd them, as you open your house for people to come and study God's word, as you sacrifice something so that you may see the ministry of God and the work that God is doing growing, there is a blessing there. When you are reading that memory verse for your children, brothers and sisters, there is a great return, and a long term for that matter. There is a great reward. I remember someone who opened her house when I joined campus here some years back and opened her, you know, invited us, you know, Salt, you know, I mean Salt, and I want you to come. Some of you may know her, she's called Beatrice. And she opened her house, her small room here, where we would gather as freshmen and together learn the word of God. And she did shepherd us well, inspired us and trained us. And she struggled because we were rebellious. She would make tea, and you know, a student making tea, you know that that is utter sacrifice, right? And she would open and wait for us to come. Sometimes we'll come, sometimes we wouldn't. And shepherded in that Bible study. Later, I was able to lead that Bible study. And that's where I realized that God could perhaps is calling me to serve him. And I want to tell you this. Maybe she doesn't remember that. But one day when she stands before the Lord, the book of Revelation says that, you know, that their works will follow them. Do you know when Beatrice stands before the Lord to receive her crown of righteousness because of what Christ has done for her? And she looks back. Do you know who she'll find there? She'll find a long line of people who have come because of her faithful service, giving us that cup of tea, giving us that glass of water. There will be a long line of people who have followed her because she was faithful to do the work of God. Friends, allow me to remind you today that there is nothing that you do for the service of God and to honor God's name that goes to waste. That your labor, as Paul reminds us in the book of 1 Corinthians, that your labor in the Lord is never, ever in vain. If you do it for the glory of God, there will be a great reward out of that. There is a good return on investment. Perhaps this verse reminds us, friends, that let us continue persevering and serving the Lord in the capacities that he's calling us to. For indeed, there will be a great reward. Allow me to say a word of prayer for you. Father, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. Thank you for your word. Thank you for we are reminded that you are a faithful God and you desire to bless your children. Thank you for the encouragement that, Lord, we receive from Paul, who says that he is convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor the demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other power, neither heights nor depths, or anything else in creation can be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this affirmation. Thank you for this desire that, Lord, we have to continue serving you and loving you and being reminded that, Lord, you are for us in all seasons. I pray for any brother or sister who could be in that valley of Baca at this time. May they be reminded that, Lord, it's just for a moment. And may you bless them abundantly. Give them the strength that, Lord, they need. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. Have a lovely week.